Mark 16, verses 1 through 7. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, if you'll join with me on the evens of Mark chapter 16. And if you found that, if you'll please stand in honor this morning reading God's Word. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre, the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And let's pray. Father, it's so good to open up your good book this morning. This, again, Resurrection Sunday, just pause to think about how much you've done for us, and how unworthy we are, what a great debt we owe. I pray that we'd listen attentively to what you have for us. Holy Spirit, meet with us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Barabbas the prisoner sits all alone. Judgment was rendered, all his hope was gone. Then a crowd quickly forms, and Pilate calls him to the hall. Someone took his place, what mercy and grace, the guilty is pardoned. Guilty the verdict, condemned by his sin, alone as a prisoner, and no hope within. Then Jesus showed up, and everything changed in a moment, released and set free when he stood for me. I'm guilty but pardoned. I was a prisoner, chained by my sin. My judgment was settled, all my hope was gone. When the Savior stepped in, all my sin was nailed to the cross. Jesus took my place, what mercy and grace, my guilt has been pardoned. Guilty my verdict, condemned by my sin, alone as a prisoner, and no hope within. Then Jesus showed up, and everything changed in a moment, released and set free when he stood for me. I'm guilty but pardoned. He took all my crimes with him to the cross, where he purchased my pardon and paid all the cost. Guilty but pardoned, now free from my sin. No longer a prisoner, and hope grows within. Since Jesus showed up, and everything changed in a moment, released and set free when he stood for me. I'm guilty but pardoned, released and set free when he died for me. I'm guilty but pardoned.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, for the song this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number 7 we read there with Brother Bragg a moment ago. If you don't have a Bible, listen along. The angel is speaking, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. And then the angel added these words, as he said unto you. I want to speak this morning on this subject. Just simply believe. Believe. Let's talk about it here from the Scripture this morning. As we get into it, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will bring belief to people's hearts today as we look into your Word. God, renew our faith, our belief in you. Even as believers, God, we need to be reminded to have strong belief and faith in your Word, because it's always true. It's always right. Help me this morning in this message as we talk about the resurrection of Jesus and try to honor Him today. And Lord, it's an unworthy effort coming from an unworthy preacher, but I pray that you'll please get in it and help us this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. The week started with the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We talked about that 3 Sundays ago with the crowd cheering. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord of hosts. And soon after that, things went south, if you will, humanly speaking. And Jesus was arrested. He was tried. He was indicted and sentenced to death, all illegally, before a Roman governor. 6 agonizing hours on the cross followed that sentence. And then some men who loved Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they were kind of secret followers of Christ. They hadn't been real bold and out in the open about their faith in the Lord. Those 2 men came and they took his body. They asked permission and they gave him the body of Jesus. And those 2 men took Jesus' body and buried it in Joseph's unused tomb. 3 days and 3 nights passed, and some women had gathered some spices to anoint his body, and they came to the tomb for that purpose. And on the way to the tomb, the Bible says they asked among themselves, it's an honest question in verse number 3, they said, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Now that's a fair question, because it was a huge stone. And they were women, not of great strength, obviously. And so they asked, I wonder who's going to roll the stone away. Maybe the gardener will be there to help us roll the stone away. But when they arrived, they saw that the stone was already rolled away. It was a huge stone covering the mouth of the grave. And it had already been rolled away. And there was an angel. Matthew says there was 2. This account says there was an angel inside the tomb. And the ladies ducked and they went in. And the angel spoke to the women. And in verse number 6, the angel says, he is not here. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Look at this place. It's empty. He's gone. He is not here. I like Luke's version of this. Luke's version is that the angel asked the women this question, why seek ye the living among the dead? A tomb, a sepulcher, a grave is a place for somebody who's dead. Why have you come here looking for Jesus Christ, the living Savior? You're looking in the wrong place for that living Savior. But anyway, this angel says, no, he's not here. He is risen. You see the place where he laid. And then he gives some instructions to them in verse 7. We read those a moment ago. He said, hey, go your way. He used to tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. And then he added on at the very end, the angel added on, as he said unto you. Now, this is an interesting way for the angel to end his comments to the lady. I mean, he has got great news, exciting news, wonderful news. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not here. And after sharing that news with them, he tacks on those. Was that a little bit of a slap on the wrist? Was that a mild rebuke from the angel to these believers, these followers of the Lord Jesus? who, when the angel said, as he said unto you, he told them, basically, why are you surprised? This is what he said would happen. This is what he told you would happen. In fact, in Mark chapter 14, verse number 28, you find the disciples and Jesus before he was crucified. They had just finished the Last Supper and they were on their way to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus told them before he was crucified, listen to what he said, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die on the cross. And he says, listen, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He told them on more than one occasion, I'm going to die, but I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to come out of the grave. And he told them here on that walk from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. He told them, he said, after I rise, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. And that's what the angel told them at the empty tomb. Oh, Jesus, you need to go to Galilee to find him. You'll see him there as he said unto you. These were his followers. Somehow, they missed it. They missed all the times that Jesus said to them, I am going to come out of the grave. He had told them on more than one occasion that he would not stay in that tomb, but somehow they missed it. The truth of the matter is, believing Jesus, believing what Jesus said was something that people had a hard time with all throughout his public ministry. Many had missed what Jesus said because simply they would not believe who he was. They simply did not believe he was who he said he was. Now don't turn to these scriptures for sake of time, but let me give you a couple of instances this morning. John chapter 8 and verse 12 and John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. Okay, I think Brother Joe, these folks are probably looking for Ryan over here, Brother Jeff over there, right over here. There you go. Great. Good to see you folks come in. God bless you. Jesus said to them, John chapter 8, verse 12, and chapter 9, verse 5. Listen again. He said, I am the light of the world. Now, you know what that was met with? That was met with ridicule. That was met with scoffing. Here's what the Pharisees said. Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. But you know what they were saying to Jesus? You're a liar. You're a liar. Later on, they said to Jesus, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We don't know who you are. We don't believe you are who you say you are. We don't know a bit about you. They did not believe Jesus when he claimed to be the Son of God. They did not believe him when he claimed to be the light of the world. But I want to tell you something. When they put him on that cross, 3 hours into his crucifixion, in the middle of the day, from noon until 3, it went dark as midnight. When they crucified the light of the world and put him to death, it became dark as midnight in the middle of the day. He had told them, I am the light of the world. And on the cross, he proved it to them. Again, in John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, two different times, Jesus said this, listen carefully, I am the door. I am the door. Meaning that Jesus was the door, is the door to salvation. Jesus meant that he was the door that led to a relationship with God the Father. And by the way, he is the only door that leads to a relationship with God the Father. One door and only one is the song that the little kids sing. And Jesus said to those people, I am the door. Meaning, if you want a relationship with my Father in heaven, you're going to have to come through me. You know what? They didn't believe him. They said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? That Pharisee said to the people standing around, this guy's got a devil. Why are you listening to him? He's lying to you. He's not telling you the truth. They did not believe him when he said, I am the door. Now, wait a minute. When he died on the cross, as he took his last breath on the cross and yielded his spirit to God, the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. You know, if you've got about, this curtain comes in two pieces here, slides over to your left and to your right when we baptize folks. That's a pretty thick curtain. If you tried to take that curtain with your bare hands and tear it from top to bottom, just tear it with your bare hands, I don't think you could do it. I think you'd have a hard time doing that. The veil of the temple was thicker than that baptistry curtain. And the veil of the temple separated, watch it now, the holy place from the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant had the mercy seat on it. The Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies was the place where the presence of God came. And that big thick curtain separated the presence of God from all the other from all the children of Israel. Only one time, once a year, one man entered behind that curtain, took the blood of the sacrifice, put it on the mercy seat. Now think about that. A place where a man, one man, went only one time a year. Now think about that, folks. I'm not talking about your closet or your storage room, okay? We got places like that, I suppose, in our homes, right? Those places we don't go but once or twice a year. But this is a public, this is the temple in Jerusalem. And it's got a holy place and a holy place, a holy of holy place, and it's got this big thick curtain that's separating the two, and only one man, once a year, went behind that curtain into that place where the presence of God was. And Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, the moment He yielded up His Spirit to God, the Bible says that that curtain was rent in twain from top to bottom. You say, what is significant about that? Because when Jesus died on the cross, He became the sacrifice that would make it possible for every man, woman, boy, and girl to have access to the presence of God. When He said, I am the door, that's exactly what He meant. He was the way to God. He is the way to God. The only way anybody gets to God is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Christ. When He told them, I am the door, they didn't believe Him. But on the cross, He proved it. But now, wait a minute. That's not all. They had not believed Him a few weeks ago. I preached on the triumphant entry. You remember that? He came riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. And they waved the palm branches. And they laid their clothes on the ground. And they said, Hail Him that comes in the King of the Jews. Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. What were they doing? They were recognizing Jesus Christ as Messiah. Remember that? Remember what the Pharisees said? Tell your disciples to be quiet. Tell them to hush. They shouldn't be saying things like that. You're not the Messiah. Tell them to be quiet. Remember what Jesus said? He said, fellas, if I told my disciples to be quiet, then the rocks would holler out that Jesus is Messiah. And guess what happened on the day Jesus died? When He breathed His last breath and yielded His Spirit to God, the Bible says that there was a great earthquake and the rocks rent in pieces. They busted in pieces. You know what that is, friend? That is a picture that on the day Jesus died, on the day He was crucified, even the rocks bursted out saying, truly, this was the Son of God. He told them He was the light of the world. They didn't believe Him. But on the cross, it went dark in the middle of the day. He told them He was the door. They didn't believe Him. But on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. He told them that He was the Messiah. They didn't believe Him. But on the day He died, there was an earthquake and the rocks were split in two. And then to top it all off, in John chapter 11, verse number 25, Jesus told them, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't have time to go into all of it this morning in detail, but friend, the Bible teaches us that on the day He died, many of the Old Testament saints arose from their graves, and some with the Lord Jesus, when He rose from the grave, some of the Old Testament saints rose with Him, and they walked in town, and people saw them. Nobody, very few people believed it when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And yet when He rose from the dead, He brought people back to life with Him. Because you know what? He was who He said He was. Even though they didn't believe Him. Very few believed Him. I'll tell you what. At the site of the crucifixion, there was at least one unbeliever who became a believer. And that was the Roman centurion. And the Roman centurion watched all of that. It doesn't turn dark as midnight in the middle of the day from noon until 3 unless there's some storm. And when a storm comes, it blows in, blows out, goes about, doesn't last for 3 hours. Turn dark as midnight in the middle of the day. And I'm sure the Roman centurion didn't know that the veil of the temple was torn in twain, but he did see the earthquake, and he saw the rocks burst open. And when he saw all that going on, you know what that old Roman centurion said? He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." He believed. He believed. And I'll tell you something. Jesus' words about who he was were true. And yet all through his ministry, some chose not to believe him. Some chose not to believe him when he told them who he was. "I am not just a man. I am the God-man. I am the Messiah. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the Messiah. I am the resurrection and the life." You're a liar. You have a devil. Why do you listen to him? He's crazy. That's how his ministry was met. With people who did not believe who he said he was. But I want to tell you something, brother. Every one of those things he said he was, he was. He was not being false. Now, wait a minute. That's incredible in itself. But the other incredible thing is those who did believe him, those who were his followers, those who really believed that he was the Messiah, those who really believed that he was the light of the world, those who really believed that he was the door, those who really believe those things about Jesus, for some reason they had a hard time believing his resurrection. Like these women who came on the third day to anoint his body. After the third day, he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights, and they came with the spices to anoint the body. It's almost like the angel said, "Why are you here? He told you he would be gone." These were people who believed he was the Messiah. These were people who believed he was the door. These are people who believed he was the light of the world. But when it came to the resurrection, it was kind of like they didn't believe it. The honest truth of the matter is, folks, we won't turn to it for sake of time. But these ladies left the garden and they went to the place where the disciples were gathered together. And this is incredible. They told the disciples, "Hey, we've been to the tomb. It's empty. An angel told us that Jesus rose. He's gone. He's risen. He's not there." These women are telling the disciples, listen to what the Bible says. Chapter 24, Gospel of Luke, verse 11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." We're not talking about the men who whipped Jesus. We're not talking about the men who put the nails in his hands. We're not talking about the men who spit on him. We're not talking about the men who pulled his beard out with their hands. We're not talking about the cussers and the gamblers and all the unsaved. We're not talking about those who didn't believe who he was. We're talking about his disciples who believed he was the Messiah, who believed he was the door, who believed he was the light of the world. But when it came to the resurrection, they said, "Oh man, what you're telling us is an idle tale." Now think about it. I've been pondering that all week. These men who had followed Christ, who had received him as their Savior, the Messiah, the light of the world, the door to salvation, the door to the presence of God, somehow they just couldn't grasp that he rose from the grave like he said he would. But don't be too hard on them. I'm afraid we have a similar pattern of Christian living today. We have saved people who have received the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, who believe He's the light of the world, who believe He's the door, who believe He's the resurrection and the life, who believe He is the Messiah, who believe He is the Son of God, who believe that He was crucified, was buried, and rose again. And yet we live as if we will not be resurrected. We live as if this life is all there is. Our soul being is invested in the temporal. Our soul being is invested in the earthly. Our soul being is invested in this life. And very little of our lives are invested in that which is eternal. Folks, the amazing thing is not that there are people in Kankakee County who deny that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. The amazing thing is not that there are people in Kankakee County who would deny His bodily resurrection. The amazing thing is that saved people who have trusted in the Lord for salvation and believe Him to be the Messiah live as if there's no resurrection. That's the amazing thing. They spoke, these ladies said, we've been to the tomb, we've seen it. And Peter and John and James and those that were gathered there said, you know what? That sounds like a big fable to me. It sounds like an idle tale. Let me tell you what's not an idle tale as well. The Bible says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. Do you understand, friend, that this life is not all that there is? That, you know, if we live long enough in this life, the day is going to come when we die. We yield up the life that's in our body. But do you understand that there is something beyond death? Is life after death. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. As I told somebody yesterday, you know, I don't believe that dying is what scares people. I believe what scares people is but after this. But after this. And yet we as God's people, we live as if we don't believe that we're ever going to stand before God. I want to say this morning on the authority of the Word of God that every person under the sound of my voice is going to stand in a judgment someday. And there are two judgments, and I don't have time to go into all of them this morning and explain them all in great detail. But those who have been saved, those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who have believed Him to be the Son of God, the Messiah, who was crucified, buried, and rose again to pay their sin debt, and didn't just believe in some, you know, mental acknowledgement type way, oh, I believe that, like I believe there's a sun, and there's a moon, there's a planet system, yeah, and there's a God too, and oh yeah, there's a Jesus, and oh yeah, I believe there's a heaven. No. I mean, you believe by trusting. You believe by trusting in what Jesus did. He died, was buried, and rose again, and you believe you've been saved. All saved people are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. All saved people. We're not going to give an account for our sin, but we are going to give an account for what we did after we got saved. Our works. And then listen, if you're not saved and you die apart from Christ, you die without salvation, understand that you will stand before God in judgment. The Bible makes that clear. The Bible calls that judgment the Great White Throne Judgment. You say, Pastor, how in the world can you take off on a subject like this on Easter Sunday morning? Man, Easter Sunday morning is when we come and somebody tells us about the resurrection. I want to tell you something, friend. These followers of Jesus Christ didn't even believe that He rose. It was an idle tale. I've been pastoring. I'm afraid of myself sometimes. I'm afraid that I live like there's going to be no resurrection. But there is. There's going to be a resurrection. And thank God, man, if you die having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be resurrected to go to heaven someday. That'll be a blessed thing. Your body will be reunited with your spirit and you'll be forever with the Lord in heaven. But we're going to stand before Jesus before we enter into eternal glory. We're going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to give an account of our lives. How did we serve Christ? How do we conduct our life? How is our behavior, our conversation, our manner of living? Was it worthy of being a Christian? Was it worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was I faithful to Him? Faithful to the end? Faithful to my very last breath? I will stand someday and give an account of myself before Jesus because I'm saved. If you're not saved, you're going to stand before God. And you're going to give an account of the fact that you rejected the salvation that was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, just quickly this morning, believe, Christian, that one of these days we're going to hear the trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel and Jesus is going to descend from heaven as He said and as He promised. And we're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air to meet Him. And we're going to go and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I are going to give an account of our Christian lives. Let's live like we believe that. It's one thing to say it. It's another matter to live it. To live it. Do you believe it this morning? You need to believe it. You need to believe it. Because it's true. And then I want to say this morning, in case there's somebody here who has never been saved, you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, let me say to you, believe before it's too late. Believe that Jesus died. Believe that Jesus was buried. Believe that Jesus rose again to pay your sin debt. Believe that He is the Son of God. You say, I just can't. Yes, you can. You can. It's not that you can't. It's that you won't. Now look, don't worry about it. I hear the horn going off out there. You know what? The horn will be going off when we're done. Okay? And somebody's going to walk out and go, my horn's going off. But let it go. It's okay. I'm not surprised that there's an interruption this morning. You can believe. You can believe. It's not that you can't. It's that you won't. Listen. I would be very cruel to say, my little grandson back there in the nursery, Carson, he turns a year old this coming Wednesday or Thursday. I would be very cruel to him to say to him, Carson, I want you to pick up this chair and carry it to the back of the auditorium. I'd be very cruel to put that on it. If you don't carry that chair to the back of the auditorium, I'm going to smack your hand. I'd be very cruel to do that because he can't pick up that chair and carry it to the back of the auditorium. But if I told him, hey, Carson, I want you to pick up this bulletin and I want you to go give this to your daddy, he could sure do that. If he said no, it wouldn't be because he couldn't. It would be because he wouldn't. There's a huge difference in cannot and will not. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And if God commands it, that means He'll help you do it. So it's not that you can't be saved. It's not that you can't trust in Jesus being the Son of God, that His death, burial, and resurrection was payment for your sin. It's not that you can't believe that. It's that you won't. And won't means you willfully reject it. And willfully rejecting Christ means that you'll be eternally separated from God forever in that place called hell or the lake of fire. I'm saying this morning, no matter what side of the issue you are on, if you are saved or if you are unsaved, I got one word for us this morning. Believe. Believe. Christian, believe. We're coming out of the grave. We're headed to heaven. Believe that. And we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. Believe it and live like it. Unsaved person. Unsure of your eternal destiny. Believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Salvation is not in some church. Salvation is not in some denomination. Salvation is not in some sacrament. Salvation is not in some tank of water. Salvation is in and through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to give Himself for you. Believe it. And receive it. Before it's too late. And don't let pride stop you. Don't let pride stop you. And sometimes in services like this, people sit and their mind is whirring and the gears are turning. And now they remember getting baptized and they remember, you know, taking a sacrament and they remember taking communion and they remember catechism and they remember doing this and they remember doing that. But there's no memory of ever trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Being under the conviction of your sin and reaching out by faith to embrace Jesus and what He did on the cross. And I am imploring you this morning, I'm begging you, if you are unsaved, no matter if you've been coming to church or if this is your first Sunday in church, if you've never been saved, believe and believe while you can. Believe now. Believe today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, that today is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. Trust Christ today. Believe. Believe. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the Messiah. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And they didn't believe Him. He proved it all to be true. I would rather believe it by faith and be saved now than have it proved to me someday, standing before God lost. Because you hear what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. You know what that means? Every tongue is going to confess and every knee is going to bow and say Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus is the door. And Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the Son of God. Why don't you embrace that now before you're forced to when it's too late? Believe. 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 Believe in your heart and receive Christ as your Savior. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. I poured my heart out to you. I'm just so burdened today that there might be folks in the auditorium who have not yet been saved. You went through some kind of religious experience. I was going to tell the story about Tim Donahoe getting saved. I don't have time to tell it. But Tim Donahoe had a religious experience. I remember when Rex Delacruz told me I had a religious experience one day. And friend, I want to tell you, religious experiences is not salvation. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I wonder who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I can remember the time and the place. I may not remember every detail, but I know there was a time and a place when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I remember that and I know that I'm saved. If you can say that this morning, would you slip your hand in the air as a token of that, just as a testimony to it? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand because I can't remember. Like you said, I remember a time when I was baptized. I remember a time when I went to church. But I don't remember a time when I trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone as my personal Savior. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that here today? I don't know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand in the air, please, just for a moment while we wait? Would you slip your hand from front to back, side to side? I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know. I may have had a religious experience, but I don't know that I'm saved. As you put it this morning, Pastor, from the Bible, pray for me. Anybody like that in the auditorium today? All right, thank you. If you're here today, you've been saved, but not baptized. I would invite you to come and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Take that first step of obedience and follow Christ. And maybe talk to one of these men about it. Maybe somebody's like that here today. Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? I've trusted Christ, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Anybody like that this morning in the auditorium? All right. If you're saved, you believe the Lord Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the light of the world, the door, the resurrection, and the life. Are you living like you believe you're going to stand before Him someday, that you're going to be at the resurrection? Pastor, it was just kind of a jar to my memory, my mind this morning, to be reminded that I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Pray for me. I want my life to live like I really and truly believe someday I'm going to stand before Jesus and I got some things that need to be helped. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Somebody else, anybody else want to join that number today? Pray for me. My life needs some help in this matter of standing before Christ someday. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. It's amazing to me that people had such a difficult time believing that you were going to rise from the dead until, Lord, I start examining my own life and wondering how much I really believe that I'm going to stand before you someday. God, I pray that you'll help my life to speak to the fact that I believe that. Help me to be careful. Help the conversation, the pattern of life, my behavior to be honoring and glorifying to the Lord Jesus. And God, I pray for those that raised a hand this morning, many in this room, that you'll help us this week to even better live for the Lord Jesus than we did before. Speak to us about that, oh God. Maybe some things need to be changed, altered in our lives, you know, because we're going to stand before Christ someday. And Father, I pray for anybody here today not saved. I pray that you'll draw them to Christ. I pray for some who've been saved and not baptized, that you'll help them, Lord, to be obedient. May you work in our hearts today, Spirit of God. May your will be done. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are going to play a song of invitation. If you raised your hand and you meant it this morning, why don't you step out and come while we wait? I want the Lord to help me live so that I will be ready for the judgment seat of Christ. Many raised their hands. If you are coming, if God spoke to you, why don't you speak back to God? Give Him that honor this morning while we wait. If you're not sure you're saved, Why don't you come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved this morning? Would you do that? Would you come and let us show you how to be saved? Maybe you're struggling with what you had in your past as far as a religious experience or something like that, but you know you're not saved. Why don't you come? Let us show you how to be saved this morning. Maybe you need to be baptized in obedience to Christ. Would you come while we wait today? We won't linger long. Let the Lord speak to your heart while we wait this morning. Believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe who He is. Believe what He did. Believe Him today. Thank you.